Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Oliver Miller, David Thirdkill, Joey Devine, Bruce Dalrymple, Johnny High, yes, that's his actual name, Sean Keane, Corky Calhoun, Sarko, musical guest, Mighty Sphincter, Patreons, John Bailey, thank you, John, Sam Lloyd, thank you, Sam, Matt Hobaker, thank you, Matt, and now the temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with my very good friend, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
Doing good, doing good.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Are you happy basketball's back?
I am. I've also been hanging out with a baby, basically a two-year-old, pretty much the last 2 days. He did insist on sweeping around a basketball hoop and really wanted to play basketball, but I did not know what that would entail to him. And it involved also sweeping a somewhat deflated basketball around with a tiny broom. So he might be a curler?
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
His dad is Canadian, so...
He might be one of those sweat boys. You know what I mean? One of those kids who runs out with the mop and and misses the spot a rocket fell on, so Steph Curry hurts his knee and they and it ruins my enjoyment of the NBA for 4 years because Kevin Durant comes. That kind of boy.
wasn't that Daryl Morey's nephew?
Could be. Definitely could be. It's like a real it was just like Dusty Baker and JT Snow in the World Series, yeah, where he went to go mop up that spot, but then Daryl Morey ran out and caught him and threw him back. This is a two Bay Area of a reference. All right.
Well, his name was Maurice Morey, though. And he goes by Morey Morey, then hence.
Before we get started, I should point out some business at the top. Please give us reviews on iTunes. 5 stars only, because that's the only option they give you, which is very weird. iTunes, start letting people give reviews less than 5 stars. It's very strange. There's some kind of bug on our page where they
strange,
only let people give 5 stars. I don't understand why. Do that because it helps. That's what other podcasts say, so we're nothing if not followers. Patreon.com/roundrockpod, where we've got a good series going with our bonus episodes, Sean. For $5 a month, yeah, you get a bonus episode a week. And we are deep into reviewing George Carl's, is it a memoir?
It's a memoir, baby. A score settling.
He calls it a memoir, but like, I mean, technically, is it even a book?
I mean, that, or that is it
more
a better
just
question.
The rantings of a lunatic? I'll read a little, just a little, snippet of something we talked about this week.
Okay.
here is a fun sentence from, again, wealthy, wealthy white man, George Carl. I'd had to overcome some prejudice and bias myself. I don't want to put my struggle on par with Brian Williams / Bison Dele or Jason Collins, but I had a 4-year period when my NBA reputation was lower than whale shit.
He's such a bad person, Joey.
but yeah, we've been talking about that with the editor-in-chief of our new blog, roundballrock.net, Corbin A. Smith, every week. So that's,
yes,
you know what that is, Sean? That is two plugs for the price of one.
That was incredible. I really enjoyed his visual recap of the game between, we got some stuff from Casey Taylor.
There has not been a blog I have not enjoyed yet. They've all been so good. Kevin Couchside, which is not his name. I don't know why. No. That's why I called it.
Should we say his name?
Yes.
Is his name secret?
Kevin Farragut at NBA Couchside.
Yeah.
Wrote a piece for our blog that I have never read before. And I think should actually be talked about more, because to me it was incredibly interesting about how difficult it is to be an NBA stats person, but also believe in like labor and a leftist. Uh-huh. Because again, certain media people, we might hear from some of them later in this episode, use stats as a cudgel to keep the players down. You know what I mean? But it's a great piece. Casey Taylor's written two pieces that are awesome. Sean, you've got something coming up, right?
I'll have a thing up tomorrow. There's another Couchside piece coming tomorrow, too.
Corbin wrote a great piece about how Nikola Jokic is a silent movie cat. That was great. Uh-huh. Everything's been good. Roundballrock.net. Also, we sell t-shirts, merch, COVID masks. Those are all available at TeePublic, at the TeePublic link in the description of this podcast. Please use that link because we get paid a little bit more if you do. We also have a phone number that's also in the link in the description of the episode. And follow us on Twitter at RoundRockPod or email us at RoundRockPod@gmail.com. Sean, how many more things are we going to add that I'm going to have to do at the top here? Because
I was thinking of an improv group.
Is the whole episode going to be me plugging shit at some point?
It's going to be like Rick Barry's hairline, baby.
It's our tiny
all
empire.
All plugs.
But yeah, everything I said is linked in the description to the episode. Sean. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any basketball today?
I watched a portion of a basketball game today while a child was napping. Mm-hmm. Uncle Sean lays down the law when it comes to nap time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sure.
I don't mess around, Joey. Sure. I saw a little bit of the Nuggets and Spurs.
Oh, great. How? I guess we should save that for the news. Let's do reader mail. We'll talk about Nuggets Spurs in a minute.
Okay, great. Yeah.
It's just so weird. We haven't talked about actual basketball in a long time.
We're so mad at George Carl for things that happened 25 years
ago. If I was supposed to talk about The Alienist, I would know how to lead into that, but I don't know. Let's go to reader mail, though.
This is Round Ball Rock reader mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean. Chicago landmark, the strongest man in Illinois, Patrick Cosmos. You know what? First off, I would like to retroactively say something here. Sufjan Stevens, how dare you release an album about the great state of Illinois and not write about Patrick Cosmos, Illinois' strongest man?
Yeah.
It was sitting right there for you to write about. It sounds like a shitty Sufjan Stevens song. You know, the
Patrick.
It would be. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It would be, oh, Cosmos, deadlift the heavens.
Oh, that's pretty good. I was going to say, the Cosmos holds up the midway.
That's good too. Yeah.
But he asks, how can I make money inventing a right-wing conspiracy about Jonathan Isaac's ACL? There's a lot of threads to pull on, like how you can't spell Neil without knee, but I'm having a difficult time pulling it all together. So, Sean, why don't you explain the backstory to this question first?
Yeah, let's dance about back. This yeah. one. So Jonathan Isaac was one of the few players to remain standing during the national anthem.
Who else has stood? Myers? But Myers has gotten a woke card from the rest of the Heat.
Myers also has
Myers is standing because he doesn't want to offend his Call of Duty friends.
No, his brother's actually in the military, yes, right? Yeah. And look,
Myers is also, a veteran of the many war zones.
That's true.
That's a Call of Duty joke. All right, keep going.
What is Myers' personal clothing brand called?
Is it the Hammer?
It's the Hammer. I think that's right. I think it might actually just be ML brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just Myers Leonard brand.
Okay, that's... Yeah, Myers Leonard brand. Are any of them called anything crazy?
Blessed shorts, say blessed on them.
brand foundation athlete.
While we're talking about bad merch, can I? We'll get to Cosmos's question, but I saw a piece of merch from an Apex Legends YouTuber that was the worst piece of merch I've ever seen in my entire life. It was a hoodie that was too large. That had what looked like stab wounds on the back and then said, trust issues.
That's incredible. A lot of Hammer things. There is an ML brand Fortnite jersey you can buy at Myers Leonard's store.
Yep, cool.
The only thing on sale is a cap that just says, ML times taps, and then it says Living Legacy in cursive.
this sticker is good, though. I kind of want this sticker.
Yeah, the sticker's pretty tight. it says ML, and then a P, and one line, and then an M Hammer. Why isn't there more just, stuff with just that Hammer logo?
Well, you that's can get I the got. Hat. The hat has... There's a hat that's just a Hammer, isn't it?
There's a Hammer emoji hat. I just would want a shirt though. Anyway, you can also the best picture is obviously Myers Leonard, who let's just say this, he is absolutely yoked out of his mind.
Mm-hmm. He's almost as strong as Patrick Cosmos.
I mean, I'm not going to go that far, but he may not be as, I think he may be more yoked than Patrick, though clearly not as strong. Right. But yeah, Myers Leonard is wearing a t-shirt that says Hammer, and then he's wearing some shorts that say Blessed directly above his penis. So, so you know what? Yeah, that's okay. But I think yeah, isn't Myers Leonard's like, I don't know, but Myers Leonard and his family escaped desperate poverty via the NBA and like the military.
But yeah, and the actual Heat players have gone out of their way to say like, no, Myers really believes Black Lives Matter. This is about something else. Don't worry about it, guys. But you know who hasn't been defended at all? Jonathan Isaac.
Not one bit.
Uh-huh.
Also, did we find out why Becky Hammond didn't stand?
I didn't look. Kneel? Pop's not kneeling either, I guess we should mention.
Yeah. But I thought he was doing that to back up Becky Hammond. To me, that says Tim Duncan's the next coach of the San Antonio Spurs.
Look. Pop was in the CIA. He's not going to kneel. He's also not your ally. Just remember that. He's only talking about coup because he wants... he's only talking about how much he hates Trump so that he can run a government coup. All right.
Just like the one he led in Honduras. So, yeah. Why do you think he has such an international team, guys? Come on. He's already going to those places to check in with his handlers.
They're a cartel. The Spurs are a cartel. All right. But Jonathan Isaac, Sean, what's a good white right wing conspiracy? Oh, we still haven't explained it. He stood for the anthem. That's as far as we've gotten.
I did not read his explanation for it.
He said he only kneels before God was basically the...
Oh, that's just realized. So then he tore his ACL 2 days later. Mm-hmm. And my take on it was, you take a knee or God takes one. So, and I'm sticking to it. Apparently, Fox News says that Jonathan Isaac's jersey sales surge after he stood for the national anthem, which, joke's on you, conservative Jonathan Isaac fans. I guess, like, would you wear them in, like, a Coachella kind of way? Like, would you wear them outdoors at the place?
They didn't surge. I mean, they surged in the fact when any NBA player becomes famous for anything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because the Jonathan Isaac sales went from 2 to 22.
And I want to make it very clear, this bums me out because Jonathan Isaac is a cool player who's fun to watch, and I hate this. I just want to say that.
Yeah. I will say, though, that once I saw he was standing for the anthem, that story about how he gave his first preaching...
He invited all of his teammates to come see him preach at his evangelical church, and none of them came. But here's the thing about that story that we never brought up at the time, is where that story comes from is from the actual sermon he's giving. So look, there's a good chance he didn't invite anybody. That was just, the sermon was going to be based around that. You know what I mean?
The sermon was about how none of his teammates came?
Yeah, it was like a part of his, like, I invited all my teammates and none of them came, but I'm doing it anyway, was sort of the...
This guy sucks, man. I don't care if he's a cool basketball player. Just let Aaron Gordon play power forward for a whole year. See what happens. Just give him one chance. He won't have to make a mixtape. He won't have to... like go after Dwayne Wade. He can focus on passing the ball, being dime store Blake Griffin, and you know, really getting an Oscar for Uncle Drew too.
what could be a right wing conspiracy about Jonathan Isaac's ACL though?
Okay, so in the actual injury, Let's see. How did this actually happen? I'm going to look at the injury because that's going to be I generally don't watch the bad injury if I'm not just watching it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Here, I'll do a conspiracy theory while you look that up real quick. I mean, easily, it's got to be somehow Q-based, right? Like, he tore it on purpose to expose some doctors that were running a pedophile ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, like he felt like the NBA doctors, he felt like there was maybe some pedophilia going on. So he tore his ACL on purpose so he could keep a closer watch on them. From rehab.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What I think he was doing is, I think he is trying to, get out of the bubble because he learned too much in there. He learned, obviously, Greg Popovich is an agent of the state, but he was listening in on what LeBron James was doing to, help Black people vote in Florida. And Jonathan Isaac knew the only way out of the bubble was on a stretcher. And so now he's taking all the recordings that he came out. And, you know, this ACL is actually a false flag operation. He will be ready to play in December. But it's a conspiracy because who's the report about his torn ACL coming from? It's the team, right?
Right. Yeah.
Owned by
the DeVos family.
Right. So Jonathan Isaac is just going to hide out at a Blackwater facility, help train some soldiers to become poll workers and to, you know, patrol the streets of Portland, Chicago, Tulsa, and yes, Orlando. And when he comes back, he's going to write a letter to Trump that Trump can read like two nights before the election, like Bill Belichick. And then Jonathan Isaac is going to come out and dunk on an effigy of Joe Biden. And then he's going to yell, coronavirus isn't real. And then he and Trump are going to chest bump.
Okay, I have another one.
Okay.
So Jonathan Isaac actually isn't Jonathan Isaac at all. Because, look, his name starts with J, right?
Right.
His last name, I mean, his last name ends with a hard K sound, right? He's actually JFK Jr., who's been who's had his brain transported into a younger man's body when he was in his plane crash, and he's been hiding out this whole time. And he realized that Trump needs his help to finally start the storm, but he can't that. He can't do that from the bubble, so he tore his ACL. So he can finally announce that he's going to run as Trump's vice president.
Oh, that's tight. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have another one. A lot of people don't know this, but Jonathan Isaac, he's not from Orlando or anything. You know, he went to Florida State. You know, he was actually born in Big Sky country, honestly. Yeah, because where he was actually born was the Ruby Ridge compound.
It. Yeah.
His real father's name is Randy Weaver. But Jonathan Isaac, you know, he grew up there, and you know, his father and his adopted brothers were, you know, terrorized by the ATF and the FBI. And Jonathan Isaac, you know, he was actually, as a child, got a little piece of shrapnel caught in his knee. And so it is a minor tear. It's a real injury. But he's really going out of there because once he's been inside a compound again, he couldn't deal with it. And he decided this was time to light the fuse. And he's going to punch Robert Mueller in the face. Mueller in the face.
That's pretty good. All right, I have one more.
Okay.
All right, so you know how the NBA is making the players wear rings, right? That like
oh yeah yeah
that
yeah.
like they're like super sci-fi rings that let you that like read your body and can tell if you have coronavirus and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, allegedly, yes.
Guess where those rings are manufactured?
I don't know.
China, of course.
Of course.
And the NBA and their love of China had the Chinese government insert nanites that go through the skin and they can injure any player that speaks up. Mm-hmm. And just like that, oh, not part of the NBA anymore. Oh, you've got a problem with Black Lives Matter? Boop! No ACL for you, John Isaac. That's actually yes. probably one that exists that I just uh-huh, invented. Uh-huh. All right, so there's some ideas, Patrick Cosmos.
Yeah, I think the way he does it is merch, though, mm-hmm. honestly. Like I think a lot of these conspiracies are definitely true. Mm-hmm. But I think like something with ACL mm-hmm. would work. So like just something like all cops live ACL mm-hmm. and then it's Isaac standing while everybody kneels in silhouette.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Or just like a shirt that says like reverse John Carlos. All right. let's go to the news.
Okay.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, where do you want to go first?
Let's talk about something that is really kind of a groundbreaking theory that you made up yesterday. It's not exactly news, but I feel like we need to address it early on in the podcast. You observed something about Carmelo Anthony in the wake mm-hmm. of his revenge win over the Houston Rockets this week.
Yeah, it hit me yesterday. Carmelo Anthony is the Ben Affleck of the NBA. Plenty of comebacks, fluctuating weight, divorce that he openly regrets in interviews, real high highs, real low lows, and uh-huh. also being a good director matters as much to Ben Affleck's career as Carmelo Anthony being the best Olympian of all time.
Right.
Do you know
right,
what I mean? Where it like doesn't really affect anything, but it's like a pretty cool thing.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's like that's the year that Carmelo Anthony makes like a record number of threes at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I think that's 2016.
Yeah, that's Argo, baby.
That's Argo. That's yeah. Argo. Where people are like, oh, right, he was on the team.
But also, you know what? Ben Affleck very famously was not even nominated for Best Director. And right. The Olympics also do not really count. So
right. Yeah, no, and he was overshadowed by all the Durant aftermath. So yeah. he was like not he was essentially not nominated as a top five player right. at Olympics. Now, I also think that they both wear a lot of hoodies. Mm-hmm. They both enjoy a night out.
Mm-hmm. I shared a very famous I've shared two very famous photos of them both wearing terry cloth. Melo, of course, at the bodega in a robe.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
Ben Affleck sadly staring off at the beach wearing a towel.
They both have a lot of tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck, of course, played an airman in Pearl Harbor, and Melo very famously dressed as a Tuskegee Airman after that one basketball game.
That's right. Now, also, they've both been parts of ensembles, basically, mm-hmm. where a lot of people have gone on to greater success than them, mm-hmm. but they're still pretty good. So, like,
right, Dazed and Confused is essentially the Banana Boat, right?
Right, right. And I would say that LeBron James is definitely the McConaughey.
Uh huh. Sure.
And then Chris Paul is probably more of a Parker Posey.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. Yeah.
I'm not sure who Dwayne Wade is in that analogy. Is he Adam Goldberg?
I think he's Adam Goldberg. Yeah. No, you know what? He's Melissa Ribisi. Because in that situation, then Gabrielle Union is Beck. It's really the only reason.
Okay. And there's I would also say that School Ties has a little bit of a banana boat feel.
You know what has the ultimate banana boat feel? Uh-huh. Is Dogma. Dogma's the funniest banana absolutely. Boat. I don't think I've ever made a more apt comparison. I think it's our best one, and clearly what's happening right now. Damian Lillard is Ana de Armas.
Oh, and she's bringing him back to life.
Yeah.
And this playoff run for Portland to fight their way to a play-in game and then lose in heartbreaking fashion before making the real playoffs. That's the way back. Yeah. And so I was actually going to say that I think that's going to be the erotic thriller, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think the way back is this bubble season, and then the playoffs are the Adrian Lin erotic thriller.
Sure. Yeah. Dude, he's going to be so good in that.
Cool. Also, I think Melo re-upping in New York and kind of wanting to be in New York in general is a lot like Ben Affleck taking the role of Batman.
Well, no.
It has to do with Gotham, and it's also a thing where you're like, why do you want to do that now?
See, I disagree with that because clearly there's a much stronger corollary to the Justice League. And that is, of course, the Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony super team we got that did not work and was bad.
Well, I was going to say that Batman v Superman is actually, remember who actually said Carmelo was on a super team, Joey? Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose, that's true. It's true, he did say that.
Oh, man, none of that worked out for Ben Affleck.
But I'm so happy for Melo and Ben Affleck, man. Yeah, I love Ben Affleck. I love Carmelo Anthony. I think they're both hilarious. I think they both make me kind of sad. They both make me very happy.
Here's the thing. Both of them are constantly derided for the things that they can't do when people don't focus on just how fucking great they are at certain things.
Yeah.
Like Affleck fucking knocks it out of the park in certain things. Mm-hmm. Gone Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Also, coincidentally, came out in 2013 when the Knicks won 54 games.
Yep.
DVD commentary. Man, I bet Melo gives great commentary on game film, right? It's got to be incredible. Wears the shit out of a hat. Ben Affleck really eats fast food in the saddest and funniest way.
Hoodie Melo is vaping Affleck.
Yeah.
And here's one last thing. I do want to say something real quick about Ben Affleck, though.
Yeah.
Gone Girl. I'm not Gone Girl. Gone Baby Gone, that movie fucking rules, baby.
Yeah, that movie is great. Like, The Town is also very. He's a good director. Like,
yeah, he's. I don't like when he's in his. I wish he would stop starring in the movies he directs. So go back to. I think he's better off doing one
which,
or
which
the
other.
Other
ones did he direct?
Well, Live by Night was not good.
That was just. But he's. To the sun. Movie set in Boston.
He's the worst. Yeah. He's the worst parts of The Town and Argo. He's fine in them, but
he's fine in both of them.
I think those movies would be much better if he was focused on directing instead of filming his comically large face. Alright.
I do like that he is in pre-production to direct a movie called Ghost Army.
I do miss. Look, there's one thing Tom Sharpling pointed this out.
This is
I believe.
A great idea. Sorry. Ghost Army is about the U.S. military forms a squadron of unconventional recruits during World War II to trick the German army into thinking they were outposts and base when there are only mannequins, props, and inflatable tanks.
That's some real Argo shit, dude.
Yeah, that is Argo the second.
The one thing I think we really missed from Ben Affleck is, and Tom Sharpling pointed this out, the host of the greatest podcast of all time, The Best Show. He was supposed to direct and star in the Batman movie, and getting on-set photos of him looking at a monitor while dressed as Batman would have been the funniest thing in the world.
Oh my god.
And we never got him, and so that makes me sad. What's our next news story, Sean?
Oh yeah, sorry. Sorry, I was just on Ben Affleck's Wikipedia page instead of this. I'm gonna say, let's go to this. The Phoenix Suns are undefeated in the bubble.
They sure are.
So recently, Devin Booker hit a very contested game winner against the Clippers, which is, I would say, undisputably the highlight of his entire career up to this point.
He scored 72 points in a game, Sean.
He scored 70 points in a game.
Whatever.
But also, this is better.
I don't know. He scored 70 points, Sean. People will tell you that was good basketball. But yeah, obviously this was the best thing.
I'm going to say the thing that is most surprising, though, is like, look, we have not been the biggest fans of Devin Booker on this podcast.
Also, I would still say that the highlight of his career is that time he won 7 games of Call of Duty Warzone in a row on his Twitch earlier in the bubble.
Is that impressive? I
also don't know if it happened. It was a joke. All right, keep going.
But the thing that is really surprising me about this team, and I'm happy for this guy too. You know who's been playing really good basketball for the Phoenix Suns, Joey?
My man Ricky Rubio, baby. Change your face.
That's not what I was thinking.
I know.
It is the country mouse himself, Cameron Payne.
Yeah, but he also had like the most embarrassing highlight of he got memed already. He was like our first meme of the bubble, which is what.
Yeah, I mean that's funny. He's Cameron Payne. Like that's comparatively, like, that's fine. Cameron Payne has blocked 2 shots in his 3 games. Mm-hmm. Is that his career total?
It's got to be, right?
I mean, yeah. And it's just incredible because Cameron Payne has a great personality, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He's the best dance partner in the NBA.
Best dance partner in the NBA. He's about to turn 26 years old. As Brent Slampson would tell us, this is the last year of his useful life. Mm-hmm. And he's been great in his only 3 games of the 2019-20 season, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for this guy. It's weird, though, I have to say, because DeAndre Ayton has been fine.
I think his defense has been pretty good, actually, for DeAndre Ayton, at least.
No. Yeah. He was like a perfectly fine defensive player this year. It's like, it's so easy to look. I would say this about some analytics people. Mm-hmm. It is ridiculous to put a rookie on your worst defensive team. Mm-hmm. Like that's just not reasonable to do. like it's just like, especially if that person is like 19 years old.
What if I put like 5 rookies on it?
Yeah, that obviously they're not going to be great. But look, Ayton was very good at the end of the season.
You know what I'm going to say right now? It's ridiculous to do a worse defensive team. Like, what are you doing?
right. It's like you can isolate. Look, there are terrible team defenses. It is hard. I just think it's hard to be a good defender on a bad defensive
team. But also, why are you making a list that negative?
Why are you making so many lists? That's the other question. Now, that being said, Joey, Ricky Rubio is playing pretty well.
Yeah, baby! change your face. Be happy. We're in a bubble.
He is bombing the three ball, Joey. He's shooting for the bubble? 60% from three.
Fuck yeah, dude. What if Ricky, this is just it now? Like, what if he's become... Remember how when he got old, Jason Kidd became like a real dead-eye three-point shooter off the catch? What if it's happened? What if this is Ricky Rubio now, baby?
Did you know Ricky Rubio nutmegged Moxie Kleba?
Kleba?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Of course I did.
It's so tight.
Not even the first time, baby.
It's so tight. Look, am I kind of becoming a Phoenix Suns fan? Yes and no.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, here's the thing. I often pulled for the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs in the past, so it's easy for me to just get excited about the jersey and that Ricky Rubio is playing.
But it's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, come on. But like, Frank the Tank, come on.
Ugh. Remember that
Miles Bridges, the... No, it's Michael. A child in a cage.
It's Mikhail. He's great.
Mikhail Bridges.
Yeah,
sorry.
And he's Mikhail good. Bridges. He rules, dude. I love that guy.
I feel bad that he was separated from his mother.
Yeah, that was horrible. Yeah.
that was like the last vestiges of hinkyism.
Yeah.
Like, you know what the process is? You leave your family behind.
You know who the Sixers could probably use right now, actually? Mikhail Bridges.
Yeah. Not Zaire Smith. He's currently in a plastic bubble right now, I think.
And a non-Suns first. I think it's a Bucks first rounder, maybe. Yeah, it's the Bucks first rounder from Eric Bledsoe.
Oh, great. Great call. All right. Okay, so just in general, who have you been impressed with? I'm going to say there's one... individual name.
TJ Warren, dude.
TJ Warren.
I mean, I've been high. I've been taught. I liked TJ Warren at the draft. Remember, Sean? I used to be like, this guy's cool. He's going to lead the bubble in scoring, right? That's what's going to happen here?
James Harden will pick up some garbage points.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
But anyway, he'll be second in the bubble in scoring. The Pacers rule, dude. They've been so fun to watch. Since the bubble started.
Yeah, dude, like, it's like, not only is TJ Warren scoring tons of points, he's just making all of his shots.
Yeah.
It is, like, very crazy. I mean, he scored, so his last game, he scored 32 points on 13 of 17 shooting. He shot 20 for 29. Against the Sixers. I wish I could do this math in my head quickly, but he's got to be shooting like something like, I don't want to say it, 69%? Something like that. He shot 69% in the first game. And he is playing 40 minutes a night. Doesn't matter that there's been a layoff. And he has one turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he has 7 blocks and 6 steals.
Yep. He rules.
It's so tight. It's so tight. And I mean, it is continuing the trend that players are able to blossom when they manage to get out.
Devin Booker. Yeah.
just get the hell away. Well, I've just been out of Phoenix, but I don't really blame Devin Booker.
I don't either. It's just he's a funny punching bag, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, and also. Wasn't Victor Oladipo not going to play in the bubble as of, like, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Yes, but then he was. I don't know. What a crazy... Well,
he should be playing. Yeah. Like, he came back. He had 4 months off. Like, I mean, just play. Like, I mean, I understand the concern about his quad tendon, but, I mean, he literally was playing in January. Anyway, I'm glad he's playing. Good job.
Sean
is kind of playing okay as the starter too.
Yeah. He's been all right. Sean, do you have some Kevin Durant news for us?
Oh, let me tell you one more thing about the Pacers. Quickly.
Yeah, sure.
Miles Turner, like when he's not playing. I mean, look. nothing wrong with Domas Sabonis. Sure. Don't get me wrong. But Miles Turner has also been very solid in the bubble so far. And it, I don't think it is a coincidence that it's that he gets to really play center.
Mm-hmm. No, they're going to trade him, right? They're going to get they're going to get something really, really good for him.
I mean, I hope they did. He's really good. I want him. I would like him to be on the Warriors for sure. Anyway, yeah. Okay, but let's let the real good stuff.
I just want to go out of the way. I don't really want to talk about any more injuries, but Jaren Jackson Jr., that was very sad. Miss you, King.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I'm glad it was not a terrible injury. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like, he tore his meniscus. That still sucks. It sucks for Memphis. It sucks for the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a weird, cool player.
I love that
just
guy.
Just taking, like, 30 footers from the center position.
Yeah, that guy's cool as hell. Zion, Sean? Sorry, Zion?
Zion.
Yeah, Zion.
Zion Williamson.
How's he looked? What do you think? They're letting him play 16 minutes now, so that's pretty 16 cool.
16 minutes a game like a big boy. He got to play at the end of a game. That was, I would say, just the logic of, I'm not sure how to phrase this, but it felt insane that the way that they were limiting Zion's minutes was only to play him at the beginning of periods. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't get it. I
still don't.
Like, why would you just play him for the first 3 minutes of every quarter?
But, like, why not play him in the last 3 minutes? Okay, first 3 minutes of the first three quarters, sure. But then the last 3 minutes of the fourth.
Yeah. And I understand, like, he has not been awesome, but, like, what are you doing? That's what I'm saying. Like they're already, they're essentially playing playoff games right now.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you think saw the court during their game with Memphis on Monday?
A lot. On Monday?
Yeah.
Was that the blowout? Is that the game Kemba Williams got in?
He did not get in.
Okay. Then, I'm going to say 11.
They played 11 guys.
Because if it was the blowout, I was going to say 13.
Because I think Frank Jackson played 2 minutes, and I assume that was at the very end. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's too many people. That's too many guys. Like,
not if you're Steve Kerr, baby. Strength in numbers.
Yeah. Josh Hart, like, it just doesn't seem like, it seems like they're still figuring out their rotation.
Here's a question, again, Sean.
It's August.
As a Warrior fan,
uh-huh.
Do you think maybe, now that you're watching this Pelicans team, maybe it was actually Alvin Gentry who taught Steve Kerr to rotate the team this way?
I mean, maybe. I mean, those Suns teams were known for playing like hockey subs too. That 2010 Suns team.
Yeah, but they actually had the depth.
But I mean, maybe that's it. Where he's like, look, they overachieved. I'm not saying, but just, you know, you need to have Leandro Barbosa, and you need to have a bunch of guys all playing a lot of minutes. So yeah,
I'm just saying, if you're coaching that Suns team, it actually makes sense if coming off the bench is Goran Dragic and Leandro Barbosa and Robin Lopez. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
okay, yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I don't think that was missed.
Grant Hill, wasn't Grant Hill also on that team?
Started though. Your starting lineup was Nash, Richardson, Hill, Stoudemire, Fry.
Wasn't on that team. Lopez, that's right.
Dudley, Lopez, Dragic, Barbosa, and then either Jaren Collins or Lou Amundsen.
Yeah, okay, those last two guys shouldn't have been playing. But, you know, nine deep, that's a...
Clark?
What? Say that again.
Earl the Pearl Clark?
Oh, God.
Taylor Griffin?
Love it.
But yeah, I just wonder if that artificially was like, that's how it always should be. Look at the performances I got out of these clearly talented players.
When really he just had actual 10 actual NBA rotation players.
Talented, just in general. Like, I mean, that team had, how many guys do you think shot better than 39% from three on this team?
Like five? Really minutes?
Six. God. Dragic, Dudley, Fry, Hill, Richardson, Nash.
What a good team, man. If only that Kobe air ball, my man Jason Richardson had blocked out.
It's true.
I'd be historically thought of differently. Because he hit the game winner right before that.
It's true. It'd be different. The Warriors would have retired his jersey because of something he did on a different team.
All right. Let's get this Kevin Durant news, and then let's do a quick slam dunk. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Kevin Durant is picking the Clippers over the Bucks to win.
Okay.
But, look. I mean, that is a Kevin Durant pick for sure,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the most Durant pick you can make?
Yeah.
Where he's like, they just got to play together better. And
what was his reasoning, though? Was it, like, because Steve Ballmer's the best businessman?
Yeah, he's like, these guys know what it's like to be in a boardroom.
Yeah, if you win in the boardroom, you win on the court.
Yeah. He's like, you get in early on an IPO because someone tips you off about it because he's one of the minority owners of the team. That's how you build an empire. You build your brand. And then Woj fucking scoops you.
Whoa, you became Robin Lopez there for a second.
Let me give you this. He says, if I had to choose, and I hate doing that shit because you never know what could happen. You've seen that with us last year. But if I had to choose, I'll go with Clippers and Bucks for the championship. And then...
You know what? I'm going to say real quick. It's strange he still used us there.
Yeah. Well, he still hasn't played a game for the Nets.
I know, but still, it's just weird. It's like, it's incongruous. It's like incongruous. You know what I mean? It's very strange.
Right. He says, about the Clippers, he says, they're just so deep. They haven't had their whole team together at once for a long period of time yet, and that talent is just undeniable. When you have Paul George and Kawhi at the wings, that's what you need to win is wings. You got those two at the wings, arguably top three, top four at the wing position on one team.
Wow. So deep. He's a hooper. He knows. He really knows his shit.
Those blog boys wouldn't be able to tell you that. However, he was also asked about his teammate, Kyrie Irving.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Let's hear it.
He was asked if Kyrie Irving was misunderstood. Should we? Yeah. What did he say about psychedelic Kyrie? What does misunderstood mean? I think the truth sometimes can hurt a lot of people. When you tell the raw truth, especially in this society, it's frowned upon. And Kyrie just tells it like it is. There's no sugarcoating. Now, here's a question. Do you feel like Kyrie Irving is someone who tells it like it is?
I mean, he certainly tells it like how he thinks it is in that second of the day.
Right. He doesn't seem like he's a guy who's like, you know what?
You know
yeah,
what?
I said it.
You know what Kyrie is? Kyrie is like, you know that Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man?
Uh-huh.
Kyrie Irving is Yes Man. You know what I mean? He's just saying...
He says yes to everything.
Yeah, like, he's opening his mind to everything that comes at him from any given moment.
Do you think that like an advisor near him has forced like a really aggressive ad blocker on his browsers?
Probably. I bet he's gotten stuck on like just clicking links on Zergnet or like one of those like those weird chum boxes like for hours at a time.
Oh, absolutely.
Where it'll be like, you'll never believe what this teen actress looks like now. And then the picture is like weirdly it's like a picture of Lindsay Lohan, even though what you click anyway. Sean, there is one last story I want to talk about, actually.
Oh, please. Yeah.
So, you know how Brian Windhorst hates aggregators?
He does hate aggregators. We know that.
His podcast, Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective, got aggregated hard this week.
What happened?
Apparently on the podcast, Jackie McMullen said like an offhanded thing where he said, where she said, Indiana is a small market team that consistently has not gone and paid big money. We know that this was something that frustrated Larry Bird, who is a legend in the state of Indiana and elsewhere, I might add. It frustrated him enough that he stepped aside. So that got aggregated on a bunch of websites to the point where the Pacers, when again, the Pacers, who should be the story of the bubble today, had to release a statement from Larry Bird saying he didn't step down because they wouldn't spend money.
Wow. You know what also happened this week related to Larry Bird?
That tomato?
They showed a Larry Bird tomato, and Jeff Van Gundy got so offended that he couldn't even express why he was offended. That is disrespectful. I mean,
it looks like Larry Bird. That tomato looks like Larry Bird.
I don't think Larry Bird was upset about that either.
But yeah, Larry Bird definitely hates aggregators now because he had to leave whatever mountain of wedding cakes he's been covered in since he retired to release a statement about how he didn't quit because they wouldn't spend money.
Now I'm gonna say this. I do want to bring up a different story, Joey. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like whatever this bullshit is. Donald Trump said, when I see people kneeling during the playing of a game, during the anthem, what I do personally is turn off the game. There's no way he has a basketball game turned on in the first place.
He's also never turned off a television in his entire life.
I mean, there's like 12 TVs. Like, yeah. Come on. But also, he's not watching a basketball game unless he's in person. Like if there's a possibility that he could like see a Rockette changing clothes, he's there. Yeah. Otherwise, does not really care. So LeBron said like we don't care if he doesn't watch. And my favorite quote though was from Doc Rivers though, and I'm gonna do it in Doc Rivers' voice, Joey. Well, we lost one guy. I mean, so what? Like really, I don't even care. We know the justice is on our side, right? That was Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers also said that when he heard that Howard the Jeweler got murdered.
Uh-huh. Well, so what? We lost one guy. Kevin's got the gem. He needs that. It's going to fuel him to a victory. Unless LeBron James also has a gem. There can't be two unscrupulous dealers.
Again, you're...
By the way...
You're falling into Robin Lopez a little bit.
Oh, a little bit. Also, why didn't they know about the door? Even if they killed him and robbed the place, they can't get through that door. There's only one person that can open the door. Who had the fob? Okay, that's... Do you think Dr. Rivers saw Uncut Gems? Even though he's in it.
Oh, I bet he was at the premiere, dude.
I bet he loved it. I bet he loved it.
Dude, he supports KG. You know that.
Yeah, man. I agree.
Speaking of, do you think when KG buys the Timberwolves, Doc Rivers is going to go there to coach?
Oh, that would be so tight.
All right. Sean.
Yeah.
Look, if we've proven anything in our conversation today, it's that we don't really know anything about basketball.
No, not at all.
We don't claim to know anything about basketball. But luckily, we have two guys who do know about the analytics of basketball. It's time for another episode of the Analytics Podcast Within a Podcast, Slammed Up with Brett Slamson and Randy Ledoux.
This is Slammed Up with Brett Slamson and Randy Ledoux. Analytics, friendship, efficiency, and promo codes. These guys are fucking dorks.
Welcome to a bubble edition of the Slammed Up Basketball Podcast, the only analytics NBA podcast embedded inside another NBA podcast, just like the spirit of Pete Maravich, which has embedded itself inside TJ Warren this week in the bubble. With me as often is my co-host, Randy Ledoux. Randy, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm kind of having a rough time.
Oh, what's wrong, Randy?
I'm having a lot of trouble sleeping.
Oh, what's going on?
I don't know. Why don't you explain what's going on?
You know, I have heard some mysterious explosions around the dollhouse. I imagine that is the deep state and their fireworks-based destabilization of society.
I don't think that's what's happening.
Hmm.
Well, I think you're trying to force me to leave the dollhouse because I can't pay the rent because of COVID-19, but also you can't evict me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
is you have a small, half-naked man walking around the dollhouse throwing those little poppers, which to you sound like nothing. But to me, every time I look, it's a nuclear explosion. A tiny nuclear explosion.
You know, that
I see mushroom clouds when those pieces of paper explode. I know I know what a nuclear bomb is, and you're having him throw nuclear bombs at me.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have not seen that. Maybe you're hallucinating.
Really? Possibly, because I saw you screaming at him about it while wearing a robe and wearing a gun in the air.
I was wearing a robe and waving a gun in the air. That doesn't sound like me, Randy.
Sounds exactly.
All I do
like
know
you.
Is that you made a very.
You kept playing
speech.
Jesse's girl very loud.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know that was you.
I don't think that was me. This all sounds like a scene from the movie Boogie Nights. Were you possibly watching the movie Boogie Nights on a projection TV?
I have
TV?
Never seen a movie in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds very similar to something that Alfred Molina would do. So I don't know. I will take issue with something that you said during that. And that is that the eviction moratorium, the federal moratorium, it has ended. So I do believe I could evict you from that dollhouse if I wanted to. Of course, I would never do that, Randy. We're doing pretty well at Slamson Corp. We got a PPE loan for Slamson Corp to float us during this pandemic, and I'm very happy to my friends at the commission. I'm not gonna name names, but JK, thanks for looking out. Thanks for looking out. Pretty happy about that loan. And before we get started, I want to talk about one of our new sponsors here on the Slammed Up Podcast. This one is a new food delivery place. Food distributor place. Sorry, I don't want to imply that there's a delivery method. That's not what they pay for. All right. Are you a fan of breakfast pastries, but hate the sloppiness of a Dunkin' Donuts or the lackadaisical boxing out at Krispy Kreme? Then you need to check out my new favorite place for breakfast pastries, Tom's Tibba Donuts. It's the only donut shop where all the donuts are old-fashioned. You can choose from a variety of lineups. There's vanilla glazed. There's chocolate iced. Crumb donuts with actual crumbs from Coach Thibodeau's polo shirt. There's jelly donuts with a rock-hard pastry shell in the center because Tibbs always wants to protect the middle. Some say the donuts spend too much time in the fryer, but that's how they toughen up, okay? And Thibodeau Donuts has so many unique flavors. Diet Coke, Powerade, Brill Cream, Hardtack, Icy Hot, Celery Salt, Ovaltine, Sweaty Towel. If you're a first-time customer at Tom's Tibba Donuts, you can get a free box of his signature cereal, Whoops All Holes Crunch. If you use promo code Trans Fatty Acids, it's easy to remember. We talk about it all the time. Tom's Tibba Donuts. They signed a 5-year lease, but they won't be around by 2023. So focus on that. So, Randy, do you want to talk about our dramatic announcement of our new venture?
But Someone's shining a flashlight through my window. Mm-hmm. I swear it's a nuclear explosion. I know what it looks like.
Okay. Well, that doesn't seem right to me. But I will say that Randy and I have been tapped to do some in-game broadcasts for the NBA. It's a dream we've had for a while. And thank you to Parler Live, which will help us. It's also going to be simulcast on the Transnistrian version of the NBA League Pass app. As you know, Randy, you have a background in politics and global diplomacy. Transnistria is, of course, the breakaway autonomous republic in Moldova, and you can get their proprietary League Pass only at the Windows Store, though you do have to convert your currency to Transnistrian rubles or, of course, Slamson coin, which is backed by President Vadim Krasnoselsky. Much like both of us, he is a former lawyer. Randy, what can we expect on the Parlor Live telecast?
Stats, opinions, lots of stats for me. Ad reads.
In the middle of plays, obviously there's premium content. Also for our Patreon subscribers, we will be providing up to the minute calculations of how much money is left on players' deals. That will be announced on a separate audio stream that we will be recording concurrently with the live broadcast. I'm very excited about that. Also, in not giving anyone anything for free, that is a big part.
I will also be talking over the anthem every time it happens, because again, the only thing I respect is cap space.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I consider Slamson Corp, the rental property, and the sex dungeon to be autonomous breakaway republics from the United States. And the only person I kneel for is God, by which I mean Elon Musk. He is a friend.
Where'd you meet him?
Well, you know, we spent some time together. Okay.
Can I guess? Can I guess where you met him?
Where do you think you met?
Hedonism too?
No, actually, he's not a hedonism guy, but I did have a frantic sexting relationship with Grimes, and I did introduce the two of them.
But where'd you meet him? I know where you met Grimes.
Yeah, you know where I met Grimes.
The robot convention.
Mm-hmm. The robot convention.
Sex robot convention.
We met in a chat room on a private Reddit, and then met in person at the robot show, introduced her to my friend Elon Bro. Elon and I actually met at a after-hours Tesla event where you could do it on top of an uncompleted Tesla, and you would get that car in 3.5 years after that. It was a great physical and financial incentive. It was a good time. Before we get started with our famous feature, we're very excited about doing our 22 and 4.5.
It's been so long!
It's been so long since we did a 22 and 4.5.
It's interesting. It's an ongoing feature, and the NBA picked 22 teams. I wonder if they're listening.
I know. I think there might be some listeners. Adam Silver, call us if you'd like to be on the show, or just become a Patreon, or invest in Slamson Coin, or you know, if you're a top. So let's find out. But first, before we get into that, we have a new sponsor. Now, we here on Slammed Up have succeeded in our efforts outside the mainstream media landscape. We're happy to support one of our new sponsors. It's a great organization that I'd like to get on the Chinese Virus podcast someday. That is, of course, the only podcast within a podcast within a podcast. And unlike Slammed Up, this newsletter, you know, Slammed Up, as we all know, is a hard R. It is a rock hard R. Mm-hmm. It is not for children. This newsletter is for and by kids, and it is run by a very promising young NBA player. It's called Michael Porter Jr.'s Junior Reporters. Now, these kid reporters are drawn from the best and brightest homeschoolers in America who can see past the propaganda from the deep state. The first issue has an ABC guide for kids to stop being sheep. A is for Antichrist. That is, of course, Dr. Fauci. B is for Big Brother, who's using the pandemic to track our movements. C is for control, as in population, and so on. Now, this is great reporting that you're not going to get anywhere else in the media landscape. But best of all, these children are hungry, mainly because they have lost all their money playing video games against Michael Porter Jr. And most of their parents have refused to wear masks and are now very, very sick or have orphaned their children already. These reporters are posting for survival and medicine. And, you know, I applaud them. I bet those fat cats at Black Sports Online aren't worried about that. Right?
I don't agree with that.
Michael Porter Jr.'s Junior Reporters, The Tiny Storm is Coming. So, let's go through this. 22 in 4.5. Randy, do you want to set the alarm? Yeah, set the alarm for 4.5 minutes. It sounds like there are klaxons going on outside the dollhouse right now, though. I don't know where that could have come from.
You know where it came from.
No,
You're trying to force me out. And I told you, I'm just waiting on a Zelle from Joe Biden.
Oh, are you still working for Sleepy Joe?
I am, yeah.
Has he left the basement in 4 months?
Yeah, he was driving a car today. Didn't you see that?
Oh, no,
it was my idea. He was driving an old Corvette.
Do you look cool?
Oh, of course.
Okay, well, you know, I appreciate that.
All right. It's set. 4.5 minutes. Go.
All right. We're going to start with the Eastern Conference. We've got the Milwaukee Bucks. They were 52-10 going into last week. Now they're 54-14. Recently had a loss. What do you say about the Milwaukee Bucks, Randy?
They look great. I'm worried that they're not... they're not switching enough, and they give up too many three-pointers, and also... they shouldn't play Giannis at all because he can't shoot the three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
shooting's the most important thing in the world.
This is a great time for them to not offer Giannis a franchise-killing supermax contract. Ideally, he would also tear his meniscus. All right, next we have the Toronto Raptors, currently 49-18, second place in the Eastern Conference. Randy, what do you got?
True contender. Don't like them though because too many of their players are over the age of 26, and I don't like Kyle Lowry's body composition.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all of that, and I would also say that Chris Boucher should be the starting point guard.
Okay.
All right, next, third place in the East, the Boston Celtics. They are 45-23. Randy, ready?
I'm all for education reform.
Mm-hmm. I think that Kemba Walker should be shot in the head like a downed racehorse.
Oh,
all
right. Also, because Brad Wanamaker is top 20 in the NBA in offensive rating currently in the bubble.
Oh, my God. Those statistics do not lie.
132.5.
I would want to make him my franchise player. Someone should make a joke about that. Number four, the Miami Heat, 43-25. Fourth in these.
I love Bam Adebayo. He's the best.
Uh-huh. I like that the Miami Heat have taken their insane conditioning to a new level in the bubble. I hope that they can do this permanently with constant surveillance of their players, limited hours at the gym. No one's able to leave. And I would just add, they should be doing a weigh-in every time that there's a COVID test. All right. Fifth place, Indiana Pacers, 42-26.
They should be tanking. This is terrible. What's happening to them? I don't know why they're trying to win games.
Yeah, I like the efficiency from TJ Warren, but not enough threes. Even if you're shooting 20 of 29, that should be 29 three-pointers. Unless he's dunking or taking a free throw, I don't care for those mid-range shots, even when they go in. Mm-hmm.
We're at two minutes. We got to hurry up.
Oh, sorry. Philadelphia 76ers, 41-27, sixth in the East.
I really empathize with Shake Milton because my coworkers are always yelling at me, too.
You shut the hell up right now. That's enough. Joel Embiid should be in jail. All right. Brooklyn Nets, 32-36. Seventh.
I love this team. It's so amazing to have so many guys on minimum on tiny contracts.
It's fantastic. Can they perhaps put Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in a pod and drop them into the ocean? They should look into that. Orlando Magic, 32-37.
Ken Birch, he looks great.
Uh-huh. Liking what I saw from Michael Carter Williams. Doesn't have to ever touch the ball.
He can't shoot! Get out of here!
No, he doesn't touch the ball anymore, though. It's great. He just plays defense, and he's stopped shooting entirely. That's what I've always wanted.
Right, now we gotta hurry up.
All right, all right, Washington Wizards, 24-44.
Why?
I don't get it. LA Lakers, 51-16.
They look terrible, but I'm all for it. Get that rest. Load manage games.
LeBron's old. He should shut it down for the season. Clippers, 45-22. Second place.
And they're pretty switchy.
Montrezl Harrell, I do believe that the death panels ruled that his grandmother should have been killed to for the population. All right. Denver Nuggets, 45-23.
Why?
I don't get it. Jokic, I'm confused by his body composition.
23 seconds!
I want to vomit, and I have an erection. Utah Jazz, 43-25.
Mike Conley's old.
Yeah, he sucks.
16 seconds!
Oklahoma City, 42-25.
Chris Paul's old!
Danilo Gallinari's Italian. I don't trust him. He's a foreigner. Or Rockets, 42-25.
Love it! Love everything they're doing. Keep it up.
Loved it. Mavericks, 41-29.
Cave, what's going on?
Luka Doncic should be the Pope. Memphis Grizzlies, 32-37.
Oh, no. I love that they're tanking, that they're being forced to tank now.
Yeah, put Jaren Jackson. I hope that injury keeps him out for 4 years. All right, finally, we'll just do the rest of the Portland, San Antonio, New Orleans, Phoenix, and Sacramento all at once.
They should all just keep tanking.
What are they thinking? Put DeMar DeRozan in a prison cell. All right, that was a great feature once again.
That's the closest we've ever come to getting to all 22 in 4.5 minutes.
All 22 is really close. So we have one more sponsor, and you know, this is a pretty exciting one for us. Now I have a question. How often have you watched a video of violence from around the world and thought, why does the world have to be like this? And also, why can't I get the perspective of a national NBA writer who got fired for being a dumbass? That's why we've started a weekly podcast called Unrivaled Explosiveness with Chris Palmer. Now, what happens on this podcast is we review videos from around the world and rule on whether or not they were atomic explosions. Now, we ask the tough questions on this podcast.
Can he come to the dollhouse and review what's going on outside? Because I guarantee it's atomic.
Yeah, we have a restraining order against this guy. We have to record remotely. We ask the tough questions on this podcast. Was there a mushroom cloud? How switchy were the plumes? Did you orgasm when we were sexting the other day? Or was it fake? Don't lie. Randy and I will break down, frame by frame, all kinds of explosions and shockwave patterns. We'll also tell you which is the most cost-effective and efficient homemade explosive materials. Chris will complain about protesters coming too close to his gated community, and you are going to love our mock FBI's 10 Most Wanted draft. Get your first free trial episode with promo code sent a tweet instead of a DM. It's easy to remember. We talk about it all the time on the podcast and in many, many depositions. Check out Unrivaled Explosiveness. Kevin Durant fucking hates it. Oh, Randy, what are you planning to do for the rest of the bubble here?
I get more poisoned by these tiny atomic explosions. You're putting off outside my home.
I wouldn't blow up an atomic explosion. That would affect my house as well. Yes, the walls are lead lined, but that's for soundproofing.
They're tiny, though. They only affect me.
I mean, you have been to the quantum realm. I guess you are the expert on atoms.
Yeah, and you're splitting them. You're splitting them outside my house.
Well, I mean, that's something that Luka Doncic does when he sees a double team, but I wouldn't be able to do that. Well, you can check me out again, the Parlor Live telecast, the Parlor Live gamecast, I'm sorry, Unrivaled Explosiveness podcast. This is going to be great. Chris, we had to bleep a full 8 minutes of Chris Palmer this week because it was all homophobic slurs. It was incredible stuff. The Patreons can get that full unedited version. You can also check us out. Find me on Adult Friend Finder. You can find us on the Apple Podcast app. You can find us inside every episode of the Round Ball Rock Podcast.
That's not true.
Episode, right?
We're not.
I'm pretty sure we're on every one. And, you know, I'm also going to be sneaking into, not exactly the bubble, but I will be going to an after-hours sex romp in the Magic Kingdom itself. So check me out at Disney World, especially. You can see the, I will have a purple handkerchief in my left pocket, and it will be a polka dot handkerchief in the right back pocket. And I think you know what all of those things mean. See you next time on Slammed Up.
Is Brett Slamson putting tiny atomic bombs outside of Randy's dollhouse to get him to leave?
That sounds crazy. Like, where would he even get those?
And he's also having a small man in underwear detonate them while listening to Jesse's Girl and waving a gun?
But how's there, like, a... Like, what does it mean if Randy LeDoux says somebody is a small man?
I don't
like,
know.
Like, is that like a 3 foot tall man? I don't. I will say it was less unsettling than normal.
I don't know. There were some troubling things said.
Their relationship has gone downhill severely.
Sean, that's our episode. Is there anything you'd like to plug? Perhaps a blog at roundballrock.net.
Roundballrock.net. Gonna be something you can read today from Zach Levine. From NBA.
Whoa,
Outside.
We got him?
Yeah, it's about Zach Levine. And I will be debuting a feature that will recur at least this one single time called The Week in TJs. So check it out. That's my plugs. Yep, those are my plugs.
As for me, I was part of history this week. I was the first official guest co-host of Fast Break Breakfast with Chuck and Keith. John couldn't make it last minute, so they brought me in, and I co-did a full three-man episode of Fast Break Breakfast, and had a real great time. And then you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on 8/16/15 I tweeted, "I've probably flown on 3,500 flights, but just experienced a first. Barfed my guts out."
There's no way that was the first time.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. It's a little bit of a sad one. I called up my friend Rivers Cuomo once I heard about that meniscus tear, and we came up with a little song called JJJ It Ain't So.
Oh, is it about the men's World Cup soccer team?
You know, I told him it was, and then he was like, wait, he called me back after we recorded it and was like, hey, man, Jaren Jackson Jr. is not a midfielder.
And then I
like sent him a gif of an anime character, and he was like, ooh, give me your number. Give me the digits, bro.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Slammed Up is not on every episode of Round Ball Rock.
Never. Never.
Somebody's kneecap is down in a nice bath. Somebody's MRI is giving me chills. Guess Brandon Clark is the man. Oh yeah, crunch time. Valanciunas is inside. Leaning on slow-mo, waking up Gorky. This bubba-bubba-lubba, that's kinda whack. The 8 seed is ready to go. J-J-J, it ain't so, whoa, whoa. Your tear is a back Jane and Solo, Dylan Brooks and the Shop Tyus Jones is hurt too, Josh Jackson chews long twos. Jonte's from Mizzou, Ja is still cool. When I say the Blazers are a hoodie Miller shot away from catching up to Memphis Thursday, and Dame rules. Ginger Giant and Solo were divine. In spite of your retirement, you cleaned up selling weed. COVID sales are good, I hear. This contract to play here only can be for 10 days. Like Blake Griffin, try to post you. This team is flailing in the bubble. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Man, just imagine Kyle Anderson playing hacky sack with Jonas Valanciunas and Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen would probably kick somebody in the nuts during that game. What a dick.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.